representative said that his county clerk told him that she was very concerned about hunters during the deer season coming into her county and registering and voting, not being residents. And she identified a particular hunter. The second half of the story, which apparently didn't get back, was that she did send the deputy sheriff to the address that the person did register. And the person does live there and has lived there and still lives there. But that was the hunters now coming into my county and voting. We never got the second half of the story. That's one. There could be others. I think it's time that if we've got a problem, let's do something about it. If we don't, I think we ought to be a little more careful about what we're saying about whether or not the integrity is being impugned. That's the only reason I invited myself into it. I'm sorry I didn't. I'm just upset. I'll tell you the truth. I'm mad.
You didn't invite yourself. I invited you.
Well, thank you. I was going to just hush.
I didn't see your name on the list.
You're right. You didn't. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Henderson.
Mr. Phelps, I'm glad you talked about that because I have had the experience when I was running and giving out voter registration cards that often people would have to think carefully about their address. I mean, we just assume everyone, when they jot down their address, puts the right number down, and I think there are, as you indicate, often honest mistakes made just with people having trouble remembering the correct address. And I'm afraid with this 20-day period, what might happen is we would disenfranchise people who had made mistakes, and by the time the mail went back and forth and or their card didn't come back, that they would be disenfranchised simply because they maybe made a mistake when they wrote through.
Well, yeah, because I think you have to speculate that the comments post-election, I think, regard pre-election. Now, if you wanted to make a decision on whether or not the burden on an election official is significant to the point that we're jeopardizing the integrity of the election, that is, draining resources that are very valuable and very limited, then I think you have a valid issue. But I don't think you can turn this thing on integrity. Because I can tell you right now, as I sit here, you give me a voter registration system, and if you want me to defeat it, I will. And I don't care what your cutoff is, or if you have one. Because if you know the rules, then you know how to play. And if you want to defeat the rule, then you can set out and do it. You know that, and I know that. In other instances, it's possible. That's honest. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off like this.
Representative Jones?
Yes, now I get to ask you my question, Mr. Phelps. Has voter participation increased since the same-day registration?
Yes, and it has and it has not. I can't give you a specific yes in that.
Sounds political.
That's his job.
It has in the respect that in 1976 presidential election, Oregon ranked 18th out of 50 states in the nation regarding voter participation based on voting age population, not registration. In 1974, we were 18th. In 1976, we were 12th. And in 1980, I read a report just yesterday, so I haven't really shared this with anybody, but nevertheless, we moved to 11th in the country. Has voter participation increased? No, but it's decreased all over the country. The average turnout is around 50% for a presidential election. Oregon was in the low 60s, but we were 11th in the nation in 1980, 12th in 1976, and 18th in 1974. So our participation is rising. We can tell you, for example, that voter registration lists that include an awful lot of people who, through no point of laxity or any other kind of thing, just simply the lists include an awful lot of names of persons who are either dead, moved, and whatnot. I mean, people move every day, and obviously they die every day. The point is that you're going to get an inflated voter registration figure. But when you move, when you measure off a population, a person can say, well, gee, that's a more accurate guy. But states that have been experienced high 70% turnouts in the early to mid-70s are down in the 60s with us. So we're all sliding down. Voter registration is a part of it. I think Mr. Penfold makes a very good point. Participation does not necessarily mean a voter registration system is or is not accessible, just necessarily. There are a lot of other elements, and I'm sure we all would So when I say yes and no, yes, we are having, we're holding our own and we're gaining on it, but we're not, you know, we are sliding. The numbers say it, we are.
Thank you.
Good thing, Blomberg.
Let me get these figures straight, Ray. You say we're gaining only in relation to the other states. In other words, our performance is better than the other states. So, but in terms, did I understand you to say that in terms of the total percentage turnout, the total percentage of registered voters voting, we have slid like the rest of these states. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We're falling back at a slower rate, would be another way of saying it. And we're doing everything in the world to pump it up, creating the interest as best we can and so on. But there's a lethargy that is just a frustrating element to get.
If you have this figure, it seems to me this might be maybe a little better indicator of the workings of the system, and that is how many certificates of registration have been taken in on Election Day in recent elections. Have you got any pattern there?
Well, if I may deal in round numbers, I can tell you, for example, in 1976 general election, the number was approximately 100,000 who registered later or after what had been the cutoff, all right, 30 days. That same period of time, this election was 120,000. So it's, there's a rise of 20,000 persons. I think a lot of that may be attributable to the fact that, like any other system, people do begin to understand it, and I think some people are delaying the registration process simply because it's not necessary to hit a deadline. I could argue that possibly out of the 120,000 people, if you had a cutoff of any kind, you obviously are going to have a drop-off, and near Election Day it would be less, but if you had like a 20, 30-day cutoff, you might be saying, okay, half will be registered and half will not.
But my question is, do you keep track of the figures of the number of certificates of registration?
People actually vote?
Yes.
Yes, we do. And that percentage, I don't have a number, but I can give you a percentage. The percentage pretty well parallels 1980-1976. For the life of me, I've dropped 78 in my mind. I'm just equating two presidential years.
Okay, but I'm just wondering,
it's a high 80%. It's around 85-88% of those who have been issued a certificate of registration vote. So, if you were to say 90%, that's a good talking number. I don't think you'd, 88, 90, who's going to argue with 2%? So, but you do get about a 10% drop-off on
Do you have any breakdown then on the figures of been issued certificates as to how many of those have been issued certificates because they've changed their residence or last name or what have you?
No, sir. No. Counties may do that as an individual thing. The files don't require it. The laws don't require it. It's an expensive undertaking, and then it gets into a problem of tabulation as each person in the office is handling the ballots. And I used to do it when I was a county director, but sometimes you get funny numbers because you get an awful lot of good people who come in for part-time or volunteer help. And a change of address is one thing to them, and it's not to you. And so your numbers are always a problem. But I couldn't possibly, it's been 5 years, and I can't remember how it ran. Change of residency was usually the big reason, but I had a cutoff system, so I can't tell you whether it's different now.
Okay. Representative Rutherford? Ray, could you give us those tables that you were talking about? Just give us copies of them.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Otto?
That 120,000 figure you quoted, that was from the last 20 days, the last 30 days?
20,
okay. How many people register on the last day? Do we have any figures?
That varies by county, and I think that Mr. Radakovich is here, and I'll bet he knows how many have registered in Multnomah County, and I would imagine the percentage would equate pretty much across the state. There's almost a continuous registration going on Election Day, well, probably as late as an hour after the polls close. I don't want to get into this Jimmy Carter and the early announcement thing, but typically you'll run about an hour after the polls close that
you're still registering people who are waiting in line, and that's just a space and time problem, and you know, people available to perform the task. All of those people do vote if they persevere, but as a percentage on election day or as a number on election day, I can't tell you honestly. I have the data, I just can't come up. I think Mr. Dockovich is here, and he may be able to answer your question very easily.
Okay.
5,200 in Multnomah County last day. 5,200 in Multnomah County on the last day. And how many precincts do we have in Multnomah County?
725.
725 into 5,200 figures out how many per precinct.
Well, it'd be about 15%.
Those precincts are islands, so it'd be difficult to...
Yeah, but I mean, some of them are huge precincts, too.
It's about 7%, 7, 8%.
Well...
It was a little over 8,000 last 2 days.
All right. Okay. And 700 precincts. So we're talking maybe 100 per precinct? Would that be right, or 10? Well, 10 per precinct, wouldn't it? 10 per, on the average, about 10 per precinct.
That's right.
Registered in the last 2 days. Okay.
Representative Rutherford?
Well, what... of that 5,200, or I should say, give me the comparison figure, how many CRs did you issue for the entire cutoff period?
Whoever's going to answer this, come up and identify themselves.
Mr. Chairman, members of the House Elections Committee, Alan Roberts, Multnomah County Elections Division. We issued a total of 20,090 certificates of registration in the 20-day period before the election. I cannot give you the exact figure, but 15,000 of those plus voted. I'm sorry I didn't note that figure.
Chairman? Representative Lombard.
Ray, I can appreciate, you know, what the results of your actual investigations have determined in terms of integrity. I guess I'm somewhat concerned about the appearance of impropriety, the questions that are simply cast by the system, and I'm just wondering if your office receives, say, or received within this, both on election day and shortly afterwards, much correspondence in the way of calls or letters that question the integrity of the system.
Yes, as a number, we do frequently. The volume, when I say volume, we're not dealing in hundreds, we're dealing in tens, you know, 5, 10, that sort of thing. It's a very small number of people who would be upset. I think it was higher in 1976, and I think it's obvious, than it is now. I think it's a system that has gained acceptability or has seated itself. I will tell you this, every one of the voter registrations that we get that are questionable, we do in fact pursue, because I'll tell you the truth, and it's a very honest truth, if we find somebody we can prosecute, you can bet we will, because the one way to restore the confidence of those who seem not to have it is to do it each and every time. There's no way we take a pass on somebody giving us some kind of a squeamish reason. We just simply would not back off of one of those. And I'll tell you, we do. I've personally investigated several because I'm not saying I'm a vengeful person. I'd like to find one. I really would. I mean, one that I feel that we could go to court and get a conviction. And I'm looking for one. So if anybody knows, please let me know.
You're mean.
No, I'm not. I'm just, I'm upset. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could I just mention briefly something? I don't in any way think there's fraud of any significant amount. But, yes, we do look at these things. And I want you to understand that we in Multnomah County have looked at these. Initially, we had 511 memo cards bounced. Now, we learned a bitter lesson years ago not to mail out the memo cards until after the election. Because unfortunately, all too many voters think, I've got a memo card, I don't need that certificate, and they tear up the certificate, and they're not in the poll book. So we mail the memo card after the election. Now, most of these are what Ray has described to you. Somebody transposed a number or mixed it up. But yes, there are some. And they are in Ray's office in a file because we've provided them with a copy of the card, a copy of the bounced memo card, and a copy of the bounced purge notice. One of these I've driven by and looked. And it's about 12 feet of a concrete wall that's between a pizza parlor and a beauty shop. I have no means to investigate that further. I'm at the best dead end I know. So I don't want you to think that we haven't looked at this. But I also don't want to be charged with overreacting. I don't think we should. But to say there is no fraud, I can't prove there isn't. But I'm not about to tell you I think there is either.
Well, Ray, if we decide to do anything with these, 58 would be the vehicle because of Section 2 we'd want to use, is it not? 2658 instead of 57?
Which is the one that has the 61 or 60 day for certificate of registration?
58.
That's the one I think that you cannot use Section 2 in view of the Attorney General's opinion. I think it should be analyzed. The thrust of the opinion is based on a case called Dunn versus Bloomstein. And the case says simply that you cannot create two voter registration systems to allow a certain access to the franchise and therefore not allow that to everyone. So I think you have to have a cutoff or you don't. But I don't think you can create two cutoffs, one being 20 days and the other being 60 days if you've moved. I think that's questionable. And I have provided copies of that opinion to the committee, and I think it's something the committee ought to consider before you consider creating the two systems. I'd be inclined to think 2657 would be your vehicle. But I think the opinion should be studied. And I'm giving it to you because it's the last opinion that we have. That is a good case, and I'm told that's a good opinion. So I think it's still a valid opinion to be considered.
I'm going to ask you another question. Another bill we have in which we won't be hearing for a while, but is 2814, experimenting with voting by mail. How are we going to accomplish that if we don't have a cutoff date?
It's our opinion that it would be almost not possible. That is an assessment that we're going to have to make, though. And as you know, I intend to visit an election in San Diego and also visit the Director of Elections in Los Angeles County. San Diego is holding an election on May 5th for 500,000 electors, all by mail, no polling places. California does have a 29-day voter registration cutoff. The Los Angeles County director ran an election 110,000 electors, all by mail, no polling places. I'm going to look at cost, integrity, procedures, whether or not it's possible. I'm told it reduces the cost of elections significantly, and it doesn't seem to jeopardize the integrity, but I'd be inclined right now, knowing what I know, that I don't know how you're going to accomplish voting by mail if you don't have a voter registration cutoff. So if we find that the voting by mail is a good system, and we may want to promote that policy change, then I think then we may have to get into a serious discussion of voter registration cutoff, because as I see it now, I don't know how you're going to accomplish it.
And for your information, Representative Lombard and I are going to be with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Rutherford?
What's your view of this registration card delivered by mail must be mailed and postmarked not later than the 21st day before the election?
Every time I've had to deal with postmarks and it gets down to a tie, I can't read it. It's incredibly true. I will tell you as a practical matter what I did. When it was a tie, the tie went to the elector.
Yeah.
If I couldn't read the postmark, then I assumed it was whatever because somebody would have to prove it wasn't. And we're in the voting business, and so we'll count the ballot. And I bet you, in most cases, that what would happen would be if it came in and it was a tie or a draw, that most county clerks in the state would give the benefit to the elector. I say most, I say all.
What's your suggestion for correction of that?
I don't have one, because otherwise you're dealing with in the office time. And if you're dealing with in the office, then
I'm not talking about the correction of the postmark. I'm talking about this subsection 2. What should we do with that?
I think it has to be deleted. I simply think that you have to have a system that provides the same the same opportunity to everyone, and when you create a distinction, I think you're creating a problem. I think we're becoming vulnerable to a federal challenge. And I really am, and as you know, I'm not an authority with respect to analyzing these cases, but I have brought you the best attorney general's opinion and the most recent one, and I think you ought to look at it. I can't, you know, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying there's a very serious issue in my mind.
As we are supposed to be on the floor about a minute and a half ago, I think we better wind this up. 10 o'clock today. Alan, you signed up the next two bills. Can you come back, I hope?
I certainly can, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Joel, and I know you want to say something. You can wait till next time?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. With that, we're These are the latest. These are the official ones right here that you just have had. County population.